This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Dr. Homebrew is brought to you by Five Star Chemicals, providing safety and cleaning supplies for brewing, distilling, and winemaking at 5starchemicals.com.
Doctor, look!
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Welcome, everybody, to Dr. Homebrew, another fabulous episode, beer-filled, information-filled, where what we do is we take your homebrew and we judge it for you to your face. You get on the phone and we judge it to your face.
In the face.
Right. And then you get to ask questions back to our faces. And then it's a whole face thing. And then we kiss, I think, at the end.
And we FaceTime.
I think we make out. Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that was part of the show.
Well, we're trying to ease you into it.
I'm usually passed out by that point in the show, so I'm not sure what's
going on. It's all right. That's why we have you on. It's a whole thing, man.
I wondered why I always had lipstick all over my face when I went home, so now this explains some things.
Well, that's why we also have a shade drawn in the studio, because it's, you know, once a quarter makeout session. So here we go. I'm just kidding, of course.
Spin the bottle.
There we go. there we go. The good old days. Actually, I've never played Spin the Bottle. Never did it.
Because
I wasn't born in, like, 1952.
I was never invited to parties, so that's why I didn't do that, too.
Man, I remember going to parties, like, when I first started drinking, when I was, like, 19, right? And where you'd go with, like, a 12-pack of Newcastle or any good beer that you had. But back then, Newcastle was good for me. I still like Newcastle.
Yeah.
And, and you just walk around the party with the beer because it's better beer than what's ever in the fridge. And, like, that was totally me. Like, my buddy and I would go, we'd get a 6-pack or 12-pack of Newcastle. We're, like, 21, whatever, 22, and go to house parties and just sit on the couch and just drink our fucking 12-pack of Newcastle. And then and then we were done, and then we'd go home. And it was, like, that was a cool party, man.
Later. I don't know. Enjoyed that party. That was killer.
But that's the number one rule. Like, bottles of Rogue or something. Like, when you bring a bunch of beer to party, don't put it in the fridge. You carry it with you because inevitably there's that one dude who would bring like Henry Weinhardt's pale ale as like the trash beer and then put it in the fridge and then take your celebration or whatever. And it's like, dude, and I've seen that shit and my family does some of that stuff too. They'll bring like a bunch of Lagunitas and then they'll start taking my beer. And I'm like, dude, what is
that?
You brought the beer. You brought this beer for you to drink, but now you see a better beer and so now you're going to drink that? You're an asshole.
Now that's the thing. I'm going to give people better beer. Back when I was going to parties back in college, I'd have homebrew. And it'd be in Grolsch bottles.
Right.
And I said, you know, I'm like, these are the best bottles ever because I was bottle conditioning everything. I'm like, I can reuse them.
Yeah.
And I'd like leave them somewhere, like, you know, I'd be playing foosball or whatever and have like on a shelf somewhere my Grolsch bottles of homebrew ready to pour. I'd go to the bathroom and come back and someone would have taken the three bottles. I'm like, those are my bottles I'm bottling in. Oh my God. Like, you know,
you stole my biggest
problem. Like, no, I was going to buy more Grolsch bottles.
Yeah.
That was so sad.
I wonder why you didn't get invited to parties anymore.
Yeah, well,
like, God, let's not invite that. I had to be invited to parties. Let's not invite Kevin because he's kind of he gets hyphy and weird about shit.
Yeah. It's weird to have a bottle or something after that. You know?
Every once in a while.
You're a very violent man.
That
you
never
kick
happened.
People.
That never happened. It did, but it never happened.
Anyway, before we get to our beers, I want to thank our prime sponsor, Five Star. You can go to 5starchemicals.com, learn about Star Sand, Sandy Clean, PVW, and, you know, you can use it definitely outside of the brewery, but it's most effective for your cleaning and sanitizing your homebrew equipment.
Man, like, yeah, I want to say, like, PVW, just to jump in here, like, I had, like, these teacups that you can't put in the microwave because they're insulated and they're, like, stainless or whatever.
Okay.
And, you know, kept using them for tea and coffee all the time and had stains. And as much as you try to use, like, soap and a brush, they never really get super clean. I soaked them in PBW for maybe, an hour or two. And, man, like, they were, like, just super, super clean. You know, like, they looked awesome. My wife's like, how did you do that? I'm like, I can't tell you. I'm not giving you any information. But it was, like, four of them that looked, like brand new. It was pretty nice. You know, impressive. I'm like, yeah, I'm not surprised. But it was kind of like, yeah, that shit's crazy. Like,
well, because you only think about it in the home brewing world. Like, yeah. I can clean my carboy and my keg and not have to scrub. But yeah. No, I'll do it to, like, clean my stainless cookware. And I clean it. I use it a lot. Clean the grimy bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Anyway, Five Star Chemicals, they bring you the show. And, as a matter of fact, they're going to be at NHC at HomebrewCon. Because they're there all the time.
Yep.
So please go there and thank them for being a sponsor. Because that's how we keep them as a sponsor. Is by you guys going and saying, I really appreciate the information on Dr. Homebrew, and they wouldn't be there without your support, so please keep supporting them.
And ask them questions about, like, pH and cloudiness and sliminess. I already talked about this on a show maybe 6 months ago, but I love talking about, Star Sand, not PBW, but Star Sand, like, you know, what's the best way to use Star Sand? Do you want to keep your Star Sand around, and et cetera, et cetera? Like, if you use straight RO water, you can use your Star Sand for a really long period of time.
Yeah.
Not that you really want to, but you can if you want to save water, because we're in California.
Yeah.
Guys, do the farmer's market. I'm going to save water. We go to the farmer's market later.
With my reusable bag.
Distilled water in a spray bottle with, you know, Star Sand mixed to the right strength, and use that for sanitizing growlers and stuff.
Yeah.
It's great.
Okay, we have two beers on for you guys today. One of them comes from a gentleman called Andrew, and he has a what? What beer is this?
Munich Helles.
A Munich Helles. God, I love that beer style so much. And then we have Brian's brother, deep, deep nepotism on the show, but Brian's brother, Jimmy. And what beer did he send you that's been cared for, I'm sure, very well?
So it's an English strong bitter, but it's actually a clone of the Bent Paddle Brewing Company from Duluth, their 14-degree ESB, extra special amber ale.
So he sent the beer, the commercial beer, and the homebrew, of which it's a clone, huh?
Yes. So we have the can of the Bent Paddle.
I appreciate that. I appreciate
and
that very
Jimmy's
much.
Jimmy's beer.
What does he do for a living? Is he like an engineer?
He teaches music.
Oh.
Very,
that's
very
kind of like an engineer.
Kind of
similar,
yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, very
close. Because only like a weirdly focused, formulaic mind would go, I'm going to do that same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe not only.
Or somebody who's passionate, maybe. JP. Maybe you lost that passion how many years ago?
I've lost that loving feeling, that's for sure. But that passion is still there. I still enjoy porcelain doll collecting, and no one's going to tell me otherwise. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Andrew. We're going to drink his Munich Helles and also, you know, enjoy it. So anyway, hang on. It's Dr. Homebrew. We'll be right back.
Examination.
All right. Thanks for sticking around, y'all. While I get... here, do me a favor. Brian, you want to read this live read for GrogTech?
Absolutely.
While I get Andrew on the phone?
It is the GrogTech promo read here for April 18. And Norman Bates said it best. A boy's best friend is his mother. And while we can't say we agree 100%, we do think that this year, Mom deserves something cool and custom from GrogTag for Mother's Day. Go to GrogTag.com and shop from hundreds of templates covering all kinds of products that you can modify and make your very own. From coasters of your baby pictures, to beer and wine labels with last year's family reunion on them, to metal signs of her grandchildren. We have it all. Mother's Day is on May 13th, so start creating over at GrogTag.com and use code BNARMY to save 10% on your order. That's GrogTag.com, promo code BNARMY. Thank you for listening.
Good job, Brian. Good job. I'm going to sign that for you. All right, Andrew, are you on the line with us?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on,
Andrew.
Dude? How's it going?
What the hell is going on?
I get
pretty
it.
Pretty good, pretty good.
I get it. All right, man, we have your beer poured already. Wow, Keith is on
first,
it today.
First, importantly,
man.
Where are you calling from? Not
I'm
Munich.
I'm in Alabama.
Alabama. Okay.
Cool.
I think Brian wants your exact address. So,
yes.
You know, he's going to be down there tomorrow. Cool. And how long have you been homebrewing, man?
About 5 years or so.
Okay. Perfect. Is this your first Hellas?
No. So it's actually one of my favorite styles to brew. But I did change my recipe. I've been working for a couple of years on perfecting the best recipe, and I changed it completely up this time. So
I feel on that, man.
Looking for some feedback on it.
I've been doing that with my oatmeal stout since, I don't know, man, for like 5 years.
Maybe that's what you need to do. Just change it completely.
I've done that. I can't get it right. I can't get it right in my own mind. But, okay, well, great. Well, hopefully we can help you out with that. Brian, you want to start off?
This is not Andrew's first time at the Hellas Rodeo.
No.
All right, here we go. Aroma-wise, it's lightly malty and pleasant. I get a low floral hop. Seems very cleanly lagered. I like that. Faintly sweet. There's a tiny hint of some corn-like DMS that's allowed in the style. No acetaldehyde or diacetyl evident in there. It's subtle overall. As you know, the beer isn't a monster or anything. It's pretty light in the aroma. You get a little corn, a little malt, a little hop. That's about it. Appearance-wise, it's a nice yellowy light gold color with finely formed white head, fine bubbles, excellent clarity, and good head retention. So I gave it full points for the appearance. It looks like a Hellas. The flavor, light malt with bready tendencies, not bretty, but bready. There is some definite corn-like DMS in there. Maybe it's a little bit heavier in the flavor than the aroma to me. The bitterness is pretty low. It's clean, seems cleanly lagered. A light floral hop. Finishes medium dry. I'm getting a bit of maybe kind of a little bit of a mineraliness in the water. I don't know if there's a higher sulfate or a little carbonate or calcium in there or something. But... and it's not like a super bitter beer where it's accenting the hop in a weird way. It just feels a little more minerally than I might want it to be, but not extremely so. It's kind of a fine point. Has kind of a, you know, just a malty aftertaste, a little bit of sweetness, but it does actually dry out, you know, a fair amount. I guess balance-wise, it feels like it's to the malt. Mouthfeel-wise, medium light body and smoothly drinkable. No warmth, as there should not be any. Not very creamy, but no astringency, and just medium carbonation. Seems fine there. So pretty good marks for mouthfeel. Feels like it should feel. It's a pretty good Hellas. It would maybe benefit from a softer water profile. The recipe actually seems very authentic with good, very good ingredient choices and authentic, you know, malts and everything and hops for the style. I can tell you're paying attention to your recipe, but I don't know if you could back off that DMS a bit with a longer boil and open boil and just kind of keep it going a little longer. Maybe you're already doing a 90-minute, but that might also increase your color a little bit. So it's kind of a trade off there. You got to be careful with that. Maybe work on the water a little bit too, and it'd be interesting to hear what you're doing through water. Just don't over-treat it. If you're building up from RO, you just pull it back to just enough calcium and enough, a few other things, a little sulfate, and get it going. But, it's a pretty good beer. I gave it a 35. I thought it's very good. I'm not sure what else to say about this. I'll turn to Keith and let him give some feedback on this one, and then we'll have a vigorous discussion.
I think that means that Brian is conceding that Keith is better than him, and I think that's pretty nice, Keith. And I think you should really appreciate that.
Well, I think sometimes either one of us comes up short, and then the other one fills in where the gaps exist. Right?
You're not accentuating my divide. I'm trying to divide you guys. Anyway, Keith,
I'm feeling a lot of pressure right now. So
this is the
reality of actually saying, you know,
TV.
What am I going to say now? It's like you guys can talk between your, you know, among yourselves, amongst whatever that word would be, among a monk.
Sure.
Talk like monks.
Yeah. Talk like monks. Anyway.
All right, Keith, go for
aroma.
It, dude. What do we got?
first and second time, I got a little bit different aroma. Like, we were judging these beers earlier tonight, and then I smelled it again right now when we poured the bottle. I'm getting, like, a medium fruitiness. Initially, it was like, I was thinking, like, maybe apple, but, like, as it's poured again tonight, I'm thinking more more like a Sauvignon Blanc sort of tropical fruit, a little bit like that sort of area I get in the nose. So kind of a wine-like aroma in the nose. Not super strong, but that's kind of the first thing that I pick up. So a little out of style there. Behind that is definitely a sweet, grainy malt with a little bit of DMS, as Brian mentioned. I thought I was getting a touch of diacetyl, but not that. As I'll say, it doesn't appear anywhere else at all. So I think that was an off there. A little bit of flowery hop aroma, but not much there. But yeah, I think that for me, the thing that stands out is that wine like sort of character that comes through in the nose somewhat. So appearance wise, medium gold, super super clear, really long lasting white head. Just really a beautiful beer overall in terms of appearance. Couldn't ask for a better looking Helles than this. Flavor wise, get that malt up front, the greeniness, sweetness, a little bit DMS, all really kind of cool for the style. Very low bitterness, almost not even there. Like, the bitterness is just really really low. That's okay. But there also is that fruitiness that I was mentioning before from fermentation, I believe, that shows up. It's not overwhelming. It's just there a little bit, and it kind of interferes with the flavor somewhat. So otherwise, really clean. No diacetyl, no acetaldehyde, nothing phenolic, nothing off. And hops are pretty much subdued. Balance is definitely toward the malt, but yeah, not crazy. I am getting a little bit of vitamin like character in the flavor as well. I think that's kind of maybe what Brian's talking about. Maybe not, but that's what I'm perceiving it as, a little bit of a vitamin sort of like multivitamin sort of character. Not super strong again, but kind of subtle. And that's kind of one of the struggles with this beer of this style, is that any flavors at all are going to stand out a lot. So just picking that up. Mouthfeel wise, medium body. Medium carbonation, no astringency, no warming, all appropriate for style. So I think, you know, overall, I think you hit most of the targets for this beer. Just a touch too fruity for me. Sort of clean up that sort of white wine character. Should also be a little bit drier. I think I'm getting a little bit of sweetness. I'd like it to be just a little bit more, not necessarily crisp, but just sort of finished more. Less sweet and more malty is really as the style dictates, but not that far off there. Just missing by a smidge.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, modify a little bit. Look at your recipe and malt. How much specialty grain, if any, you're using. If not, that's not the problem. Then look at your mash schedule and possibly your yeast and how you're handling your yeast and diacetyl rest and stuff like that. Even just to push out, you know, the fermentation a little bit more. The fruitiness, just, you know, once again, yeast health there is always a big issue. You know, cold, hot, you know, cold too warm, whatever. There's all kinds of different things you can do to cause that to happen. Or it could be hop selection as well, and maybe you're going for that sort of character. But I really, really like the beer a lot. Just minor tweaks that I'm talking about here. Kind of push it over the edge. I gave it a 34. What did you get? 33?
35. 35, yeah.
Wow, you're just trying to always one-up me, making every beer.
I want the entrance to like me. Yeah.
Well, that's always going to happen anyway.
But. For sure. Okay. Andrew, what do you think, man? You got any questions? Let's hit your recipe. Let's do this.
Yeah, so I changed it up. I used to do the brewing classic styles, you know, straight out of there with the Munich. But for this one, I did 70% Pilsner floor malt. I did 18% two-row, about 8% Carafoam, and then 3-ish% acidulated malt. This is a 7.5-gallon batch. Did 0.9 ounces of Hallertau at 60 minutes, and I did do a 90-minute boil.
Yep.
1.2 ounces of Pettinger at 15, and then another 0.6 in the Whirlpool. Fermented it at 50 degrees. Yep, 50 degrees up until it was about at 1.020. And then I raised it 3 degrees every 12 hours until we got up to 60. And then it finished out at 1.010. And then I dropped it down, you know, a little bit at a time until got to lager temps. And then on the mash, I did a rest at 123 for 30 minutes, and then 154 for 30 minutes before I mashed out. And the water, that was actually going to be one of my questions. So I do build up from RO, and I kept it pretty light. I thought I got 18 parts per million calcium, 5 for magnesium, 43 on the chloride, and then 30 on the sulfate.
Okay. That's
pretty,
really soft.
I thought it was
and,
pretty
yeah.
low, but
sorry,
I got the same thing you guys got when I tasted.
There's something, something a little odd. Maybe it is more of a, I don't know. Was there any yeast nutrient or anything in there, or like where's that vitamin E thing the Keith's getting? What is that?
So
from?
I used yeast nutrient in the starter. I used the German Bock yeast, and
okay. So the 833 is that what you're using?
Yeah, the 833.
I did that yeast, by the way.
I made two starters, actually, because I only have small flasks. So I did two starters, and then I added some yeast nutrient in each one of those, and then I added some more yeast nutrient in the boil. So maybe that could be where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you have to use a lot for it to carry over in the end,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
Yeah, I only use an eighth of a teaspoon in the starters, and then whatever it says on the – I don't remember how much it was – whatever it says on the – the package carry to over put in the
quarter
boil.
Pound.
I would ask like weird questions. I, you know, the weirdness of the recipe. Nothing else is really weird, but like why 2-row as part of the recipe, and then probably more importantly, that's like that really doesn't make that much of a difference. But like why tetanang and the whirlpool? Like for a Helles, that seems a little aggressive. I don't know. You said it's a small amount, 0.6 ounces for a 7.5 gallon batch. But like, why even whirlpool tetanang?
Are you normally whirlpooling with these?
Yeah, so I normally whirlpool every batch. But so I read the Bavarian Helles book. I don't remember who wrote it, but
Kornbusch or whatever. I'm not gonna put him down too much on the air right now. But there's been a lot of people who say he makes up a lot of stuff. just saying, but
Of course, we make up a lot of stuff too. So there's that.
I think you have to.
So that's where the 2-row came from. But really, I didn't want to do that. I just didn't order enough Pilsner,
that's what I figured.
It's in the book, so I was like,
screw that. Like, there's German brewers are not using
American 2-row.
Import some American 2-row. Ship it over here so we can add it 18% of our beer. I don't know where that even came. I have that book, but I haven't really read it. I just needed to complete all the style series.
Like,
but
you can get your achievement.
That's weird, but the whirlpool. What's the theory behind the whirlpool? What are you thinking there? That you're.
It just keeps some of the hops from getting into my my fermenter.
Clear work coming out. Yeah,
And then I recirculate it to kind of cool it down because I have a problem cooling down the surface water here is pretty warm, so getting it down to temperature is kind of hard. So I recirculate it for a little bit before I send it back into the fermenter.
Now you said you started ramping up at 10-20 gravity up to 60 degrees from your 50.
I don't think you're going to get any off flavors there. I don't think you're going to. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm like kind of yawning and talking.
You're in the other room. Yeah.
I mean, the other room talking here. There is another room.
I was
here,
just wondering where the fruitiness came from that Keith picked up. But, you know, I got maybe a little bit of that too, but ramping up prematurely, or where would you start there too?
I would start there. Yeah.
I don't need too many
lagers. 75% or whatever.
Yeah, that's probably fine.
At a fermentation, you want to start ramping up. And I go higher when I ramp up, but I just try to get as high as I possibly can.
Like 68
every day, all day.
Every day, all day. That's why I live in California. I don't actually, but I do live in California, but I don't get high that way. But I do in the mid 60s, but that's not, you got final final gravity where you need it to be, so that's great, and that's one of those things. You have no diacetyl problems at all, so that's not an issue at all here either.
Yeah, it seemed cleanly lagered to me, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, for 38.33, I like starting at 48, but that's, I don't know, that's splitting hairs
there. That's a fine point, yeah.
Yeah, like, I like starting colder and then ramping up every day a little bit, because most of that flavor, the flavors like that sort of stuff's going to happen early on, but... I don't know. I don't know if you're getting that at all, like any of that white wine character I'm talking about. Maybe I'm crazy. I'm the only one who's sort of getting that.
Or high.
I am crazy.
I get a little bit of green apple, just a little bit. And that's been a problem that I've had for as long as I've been brewing with lagers. And sometimes I'm the only one that can, you know, perceive it, but it's just a little bit in the background. I always get it. I'm trying to
faint.
I think to get rid of that.
I think sometimes they could be the same.
Yeah.
But perceived differently. You know what I mean? Like white wine to one person, like green apple skin. Like,
I can bring in I said the wrong thing. Like, I said Cabernet. Did I say Cabernet before? That was totally freaking crazy.
Wow.
Like, Sauvignon Blanc is what I was talking about.
Yeah, it's like a cheap, like a very cheap $5 bottle of white wine. But I think it's I got like a tartness, an acidity.
Keith, where's your Hellas?
And I wonder if that's what it is.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about my Hellas. That's what I smell. Like, yeah, and that's. But I think we were talking about the acetaldehyde, like green apple. Like, I think that's almost in every beer. You may just have a lower threshold. Is that a higher threshold of flavor? Like, I can almost taste acetaldehyde, and the next beer we'll be talking about here in a couple of minutes, like, I can taste a tiny bit.
It has a higher sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. Higher sensitivity.
And you can taste it at a lower threshold.
Exactly. Right, exactly. Thank you, Brian. Yeah, you may just have that, and that's just unfortunate that's one of the way your palate works or whatever. That's
like
the way
when
you
we
taste,
get
so.
Doc in here, every beer is full of diacetyl to him.
Well, because he's drunk half the time, so he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, I have a terrible palate, so it's hard for me.
is this helping? Do you think are these guys full of shit? Be honest.
No. I'd
say both. By the way,
I entered this beer in the first round for NHC, and I got second at the Indianapolis region.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
So I'm getting ready to rebrew it, and this is perfect because I picked up some of the same things, and the scores are right along with what. On there for the score sheets I got. But
awesome.
Yeah, I had a hard time with this beer because there wasn't really much for me to fault it for, but it's not perfect Hellas. It doesn't have any real flaws sticking out in a big way. It's just not like when you go to freaking Munich and drink the Hellas there, you know?
Yeah, there's a fermentation character that's lacking, for sure.
And I would chill out with the finishing hops overall.
Like,
what I was going to ask you guys, last year I brewed the Hellas for NHC, and I actually scored a 44 and didn't advance because I split it right down the style. Everything was right in the middle. It didn't stand out at all, though. I lost in the mini best of show. So I brewed this one. I wanted it to be super light just to kind of, be different. And I guess that kind of worked, but to me it doesn't really...
Yeah, it's like...
Do you think it needs to be more bready, more malty? Mm-hmm. It seems kind of light to me.
Yeah, it's light overall, and it just feels like there's not enough there. It's like, bring out the breadiness a little bit more.
Fermentation
go back to,
it's too clean.
You don't need that, the pale, U.S. pale malt, and just, go back to the basics.
It depends on the judges you get. It's always a crapshoot there, and what people are looking for, because it really shouldn't have a ton of maltiness. It should have some of that pills character.
No, but it shouldn't have a ton of maltiness, but it should have that depth of malt that it doesn't necessarily have.
And strangely enough, I find if you're using the Weyermann floor malted, I find you actually get less malt character from that. This is just me, of course, but I find when I use that, I get less malt character when using the Weyermann floor malted than I get when I'm using just the regular Weyermann pills. Mm-hmm. And I said Weyermann versus Weyermann, which is pretty interesting as well. It was a joke, but it's just around the
thanks, way. Keith. I appreciate that.
I'm here.
We're going to spin Keith into some weird anxiety during the break. Do you have any other questions for the guys, Andrew?
No, it's just I think when I rebrew this, I'll go with the mostly Pilsner and then the Carafoam and maybe a little Melanoid and call it good.
Yeah. No, I like that, you're paying attention to what you're doing and experimenting with your recipes. And sometimes it's good to just change everything up and try something completely different. But, yeah, read some more books about it and keep going, man. It seems like you're on the right path.
I appreciate the feedback. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks Cheers. For sending the beer in, dude.
Good
thanks,
luck Andrew. In finals.
Good luck. Yeah, all right. Good luck, man.
All right. Later.
All right, we'll see you.
Actually, we have another beer of his for next month, so we'll be talking to him again. Which happened.
A nice southern gentleman to talk to.
Keith's in his head right now. He's trying to crawl away. Right. He's trying to dig a tunnel back to the bar station.
Take a break.
hey, do you guys know about More Beer Pro? Yes, morebeerpro.com. They offer bulk malt, hops, yeast, as well as pro fermenters and bright tanks, along with 4,000 other products to breweries at wholesale pricing. If you have a brewery, set up an account and save with morebeerpro.com.
Okay. That's if you're a pro.
If you're a pro. If not, then, disregard. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Brian's brother, Jimmy, and about his beer with the ESB and the whole thing, and it's going to be a good thing. Stay tuned. We'll
Jimmy's
be right back.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five Star treatment today.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
All right, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us. We're going to be getting on the phone here with Jimmy Cooper, who's Brian's brother. I'm really more excited about drinking the ability to drink an ESB. Although it says Amber Ale, it's an ESA.
Yeah, it's 14-degree ESB, extra special amber ale. So right. It's like a dark ESB. It's in the color range, I would say.
It says extra special amber. It's an ESA, dude.
They can go pretty coppery colored.
Why does Keith look like a brownie batter? Like, why?
Let us not speak of that.
Okay. Because it's just the end of the bottle?
It is the end of the bottle.
That's all right, so. Then. That's all right. We're not going to give
Jimmy I get the shaft most times.
Jimmy was stingy. He gave us just one bottle. Bastard.
Why would he do that?
It's the Cooper way.
He was flying so many new Glarus beers to me that he ran out of space. So
never mind.
You brought one to try?
Coopers are very generous.
I brought a Serendipity. New Glarus Serendipity.
God, I can't even read the paper label. It's just like all
was in my cooler
walked out. New Glarus for Serendipity Hoppy Accident Fruit Ale.
Happy accident.
Happy accident.
That's
fruit
what Serendipity
ale.
Is.
What point
stuff?
What point font do you think that is? Like a -5?
Jesus.
Yeah. It's like we have a lot to say about our happy accident
some
ale.
Paint some, sing others right. I brew. Daniel Curry.
Oh, well, that's great. Hey, guys, I want to tell you about a new Kickstarter project that's out. It's started by a fellow BN Army member. It's called the Y-Firm. So if you're looking for a wireless way to control your fermentation temperatures, check this out. The Y-Firm is now launching on Kickstarter, and you can get in on the ground floor of this cool new tech developed by a Brewing Network listener. As a patent-pending Wi-Fi temperature controller, you can monitor and control your fermentation temperature from anywhere on the planet. Forgot to bump the temp a few degrees for the diacetyl rest? Do it from your iOS or Android device. Never delay a brew day because you won't be around to change your fermentation temperature, which I know I've done several times, as a matter of fact, you know, when I used to make beer. It has an app for Apple and Android phones. Of course, you can receive notifications when you've reached pitching temps. So if you're in the garage and or you're brewing in the garage and you're home in the other room, you know, watching TV, you'll know you don't have to keep go check every half an hour. You'll get the alert on your phone, or when your temperature is out of range. So if your cooler dies or your fridge dies or something like that, that's good to know ahead of time. You can set a fermentation schedule from your phone and monitor from anywhere. So head over to Kickstarter.com and search Y-Firm and support your fellow BN Army member in his drive to make fermentation temperature control easier.
Is it, does it like sort of link up with like Angie's List or something like that? So an HVAC person, like once your refrigerator dies,
that would be kind of amazing.
Well, like,
actually,
find somebody like one of my fridges died. And I had to find somebody. It was a meet. Like this guy like came in. He fixed my dryer in my house.
Even though your fridge died,
I rent and a fridge died. Like one of the ones I use for fermentation. And I'm like, hey, by the way, do you fix these fridges? And he's like, oh, like, and he's like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, making beer. Like, he had a Russian accent, or maybe he's Latvian. I have no idea what Ukrainian. I have no idea anyway.
Yeah.
Ukraine is weak.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, he was like, oh, I may have that part. So he came back the next day and had the part and fixed the fridge. It was pretty awesome, but it was like
nice.
Random. He was fixing the dryer. And I'm like, hey, by the way, this fridge died. And he's like, yep, got it, like, and fixed it. It was pretty, it was like $45 or something. He's like,
easy job
give me,
for him,
give me
dude.
Beer now, like, give me a growler and I will do it for free, you know, sort of thing. So those are, you know, trading for beer is always a good thing.
Easy job for him. Anyway, check it out. Kickstarter.com, search Y-Firm. Never mind.
That's a great story, by the way.
Yeah, it was a really good story.
First time I've ever told it, and the last time.
The beat down on the desk sounded pretty good over the microphones, too.
Sorry.
Yeah, I have to edit that out.
Hey, Jimmy, are you there?
Yeah.
How's it going, dude?
Brother Jimmy.
It's a little late in Minnesota time, but I'm hanging in there.
Nice. I appreciate it. Hey, do me a favor. Kill your video so we'll get a little better audio, if you wouldn't mind.
All right.
Brian, that's perfect. Brian's waving at the computer screen, even
Hi,
though we
Jim.
Have no cameras on the computer screen.
Hi, Jim. I was waving.
So I'm sure
just used to...
you clearly got all the brains in between the two of you.
I've got a smart computer that has a little video camera built into it.
All right, Jimmy. So do me a favor. Tell me about this beer. And you made a clone of it. And how'd that happen?
Tell us about how he started brewing, too.
I think we've already done that. He's already been on the show, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, we did that story last time, I think.
See, I pay more attention to what you were doing than your brother.
Nobody else remembers that, though. We were in Minneapolis, you know, hanging out.
Tell me about this beer, Jimmy.
All right. Well, anyways, we've got a new brewery in town in Duluth here called Bent Paddle.
Mm-hmm.
They're currently one of my favorite breweries here. And they have the 14-degree ESB amber. It's one of, I know, a lot of awards at the brewing competitions. So, and it's one of my favorite ones to go down there to the tap room and enjoy. So, and I was actually at HomebrewCon in Minneapolis, and we were passing by one of their booths, and they had a clone kit for it. So, I grabbed the, you know, sheet, and I just kind of went off of that as my starting point for the recipe.
Okay.
So it was at their little tent thing, so I checked it out.
Yeah.
And this is my first time brewing the batch, so... I'm kind of I can tell you right off the bat that it does not match their beer.
Okay,
but I do enjoy it, but I would like to learn how to massage it more into what I intended it to be.
Okay,
so,
yeah, maybe we can help with a clone recipe.
No,
yeah,
we can.
So
Okay. Yeah, you know, we've had Bent Paddle before, oddly enough. We've had a few people from your area send us some beers on this show. So we're familiar with the beers, and I think everything we've had has been pretty good. So I would definitely, and then tasting this beer, I would definitely see cloning this beer. It's very toasty.
They're supposed to do a good job. They had a little tiny tasting room there before, and I guess now they built it out and had a big grand opening for their massive new tasting room with like a waterfall coming over the bar.
Jeez,
looking thing.
Like the stone of the
well, not
the
real
Midwest.
Water, but it just looks like, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, it looked pretty cool. I want to go there and check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, souped it up. They souped it up quite a bit there, which is awesome. They rock it for sure. So
cool.
We're basically taking all of Lake Superior, apparently, and turning it into beer around here.
As well you should.
Yeah, yeah, sounds good. Yeah. Keith, you want to start first?
I'd love to.
All right, please do.
Hey, Jimmy. Met you a couple weeks ago. Okay. So looking at the bottle inspection, it was a little bit high in terms of the normal bottle fill. Not a problem necessarily, but just calling that out. Aroma-wise, I'm getting a fairly strong hop aroma. I'm getting some floral, citrus, maybe some orange, a little bit of tangerine. Also, I get a pretty deep caramel aroma, a little bit of biscuit. Light to medium esters. I think flavor wise, I get a little more esters. That's why I was kind of saying high there. Apple, pear, but otherwise very clean. Not getting any off aromas. No diacetyl. Nothing really off. So overall, really really good job in terms of aroma there. Appearance wise, super clear, medium to medium dark amber, slightly off white head. Fairly big on the pour, but it dissipated pretty quickly. It's almost nothing more than just sort of a collar around the glass. Flavor, that oranginess jumps out of the glass there in terms of the hop flavor. So that's the first thing I'm tasting is that orange hop. Medium low caramel, crystal character. Balance is fairly even, but as I taste it, you know, the more the bitterness lingers as it, you know, sort of sits in your mouth and on the aftertaste. So, you know, I think a little bit of apple pear again in terms of esters, low biscuits. Alcohol is noticeable, but overall, like I said, just clean. Getting just a touch of paper, cardboard. But that's really mild. It's just, you know, just kind of faint there. Mouthfeel, medium body, light hop astringency, medium low carbonation, bordering on low, you know, bottling, you know, traveling, all that sort of stuff. Always can kind of get hit on these beers occasionally. Just a very low touch of alcohol warming. I'm drinking the one bottle that we have. I have a mud glass right now. So I want to take a sip of that and then talk about overall impression.
This is now my opportunity to give Brian shit for how he stored a beer. After how many, four goddamn years of the same tired joke, now I get to give it to Brian. It was probably stored in the trunk of his car parked underneath a sun machine.
Yeah. I know, well, I said I'd leave work at you know, 5:30, but then I left at 5:40, and I was, like, driving like a maniac to get here, trying to make it look like I had left when I actually said I was going to leave. So it got, you know, it almost fell on the ground a couple times.
You did fine.
But very enjoyable beer.
Did you have the airport last time?
Sorry.
Good. Keep going.
Sounds like a conference call. I'm going to try to interrupt now. enjoyable beer. I love the hop and malt. There's a restraint on both that it's really enjoyable. That they're both showcased. There's some crystal malt. There's some biscuit flavor. You get some of that hop flavor as well. But they're both kind of restrained, but really enjoyable. I really really like that. It's drinkable. You know, in the finish, I get a tiny bit of acetaldehyde, but that's just me again, probably the low threshold I get in a lot of English-style beers. I think the esteriness is fine with this beer. Maybe turn it down just a little bit, the esters. I think it'd be maybe a little bit better, maybe lower the first fermentation temp like out of the gate and then just sort of bump it up a little bit from there. Tasting it side by side, I'll just jump in now and do that. Like right now, comparison, your beer is a lot better. Your beer actually handled the trip a little bit better than the Bent Paddle. Bent Paddle, I'm getting some oxidation. A lot more biscuit on the Bent Paddle.
Yeah, for sure.
But for me, I'm also coming across more of the oxidation notes reminding me that sometimes homebrew beer as it's called. beer in Minnesota, of course, with the native tribes. Beer is sometimes better than the commercial one. So I actually prefer your beer over the commercial one that we have here, and I really like your beer a lot. I gave it a 37.
Awesome.
All right, Brian. Now, cool. Realizing that your score doesn't matter because you have to recuse yourself.
Yep. Okay. You can't give a 56 on a beer. It doesn't go that high. No. Medium high in the aroma. Medium high kind of resiny hop notes I got in there, which was kind of nice. And definitely a kind of a medium caramel with a faint biscuit behind that. I agree with Keith there. To me, it was lightly estery. It wasn't super heavy on the fruity esters. It wasn't a fruit bomb to me, but very clean fermentation character. I didn't get any DMS or diastole or any stuff like that. In the background, I got kind of a slight, like a darker malt impression, like a not really chocolatey, but almost like a background dark malt, like you get in some of the beers that they color with something darker, like a Carafa or something, just to give the beer a deeper color sometimes. But there's something just a little darker lurking in the background. It's like a horror movie. Medium copper-colored beer with a low off-white head that persists for a while. Faded to a collar of fine bubbles, but with a lower carbonation beer like an English style, you can get away with that. I mean, it can have a massive head that sticks around all day. So I gave it full marks for appearance. It's nice and for what I can see, it seems pretty clear. Flavor-wise, I'm getting a medium-light caramel and a low, bready, biscuit-like malt with light toast in the background. To me, the bitterness is fairly subdued. It seems maybe low for the style. I'm getting a faint, resiny hop flavor in there with that. Low minerals. Ester-wise, it's a kind of a neutral ale yeast character. It's not expressing itself as Englishly as hoped, maybe. It lacks some of that English fruitiness, maybe. And it just remains malty in the aftertaste, and that's fine. With these beers, there's a range of balances, but some balance a little more towards the bitter side against that malt. So it's definitely on the maltier side of the style, and that's fine. The balance that's here is pretty nice. Mouthfeel wise, it's medium bodied with medium low carbonation, no warmth. It's pretty smooth, no astringency and no obvious alcohol. Not very creamy, but still it's light and it's kind of smooth and it feels good in the mouth. So, I like that, beer in my mouth and I want more of it. Send me more. Overall impression, it's, good work with this ESB. It has a lot going for it. It's a robust homebrew and, has a lot of malt. And to me, it could use a bit more bitterness. And, the hop character, I liked what it was, actually. I think that it had a nice, that little kind of resiny character that was in there worked well with it. But just a little bit more to fit the strong bitter category a little bit better. Maybe a more kind of Burtonized English-type water. You don't have to go too crazy with that, but I don't know, maybe just using that lake water you were talking about there, and it's pretty good clean water you have to work with, so you can do some fun things with it from there. Maybe play with the water a little bit, do some additions, but not too heavy, just a little accent maybe. So maybe a more, we'll talk about the yeast strain that you used. I happen to know that you used American ale yeast to ferment this with, so.
Cheater. both of you are cheaters, by the way.
Try it with the English yeast sometime, and it'll push out some of those more those esters. I cheated, yes, I know. He gave me his recipe. I couldn't not look at it. Oh, and also go play way more guitar while you're brewing your beers, and it'll just come out better anyway because you kicked my ass on that front. But I...
Well, there you go.
I gave it a 35. I thought it was a very tasty beer. And against the Bent Paddle ESP, I thought yours was smoother.
And to me, theirs was a little more minerally and had more of the biscuit and toast kind of flavors in it. And maybe a little more bitter and a bit, well, it's not very fruity either. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of, yeah. Yours was smoother. I think I like yours better, too. There you go.
Awesome. Wow, look at you.
All right.
So, Jimmy, do you have questions for these guys, or should we kind of summarize how to change the recipe a little bit, or
let's talk about the recipe. What goes into this?
Well, okay, so the recipe, Brian is right. He got to disclose the recipe. It actually called for, in the recipe, it was kind of confusing. They said, why yeast 1065? When I looked it up, and it doesn't exist. So I assumed they'd flip the numbers around, 1056. I went with American ale yeast. I was just kind of trying to follow what they had on the sheet, just going by that. But yeah, I think next time I will for sure try it with like an ESB 1968. You know, go with that next time. But as far as the recipe goes, I had 13.5 pounds of RAR, two row. I had 4 ounces of Victory, 2.5 ounces Kara 120, 4 ounces Kara 60, 6.5 ounces Kara Pill, and 1 ounce of the Black Prinz malt, which is the kind of darkness I think Brian was alluding to there.
I didn't remember that you had that in there, but I tasted it.
That's the first time I've used that. I've never used that before. So
120 as well gives you
and
some
the 120
of that
yeah
too. I think Brian's been cheating on us here.
Kick me off the show, guys.
Anyways, and for the hops, I used 0.3 ounce hops at Columbus at 90 minutes, 1 ounce EKG at 20 minutes, along with 0.5 ounce of Glacier. And it was dry hopped with 1 ounce of Amarillo and 0.25 Anthonym and 0.25 ounces of East Kent Goldings on dry hopped.
Explain the oranginess. Like Amarillo is known for oranginess, and even EKG can sometimes give you some oranginess as well. Sometimes floral, but yeah, that explain that sort of.
And the Bent Paddle guys, they dry hopped theirs too, or?
Of course, what I know about it, yeah. They didn't let me look at their exact recipe or whatever. Put out by Duluth Homebrew Supply. So
it's not the real
that as not, a starting point.
Right. So it's not the Bent Paddle recipe. It's just somebody's interpretation. Yeah. Got it.
So I was just ripping off that, and I'm interested now. I don't know if my palate's a little different, but it seemed to me that when I was drinking them side by side, and granted, you guys have a, can that's been who knows where. when I drink it, when I get it on tap and take it in a, or take it back home and drink it compared to this, theirs seems actually a little less hoppy than mine. So I thought mine was a little bit hoppier in my impression. So I'm not sure.
I'm definitely tasting that, the Columbus,
thinking it's more smooth. So that's kind of interesting to me.
Well, the malty smooth, but the hop is definitely.
I thought yours was more malt and more. I'm sorry, more hoppy. Yeah, definitely in terms of aroma and flavor and stuff. I thought it was just the graininess of theirs is what I was kind of talking about in terms of smoothness. Maybe.
Okay. So yeah, mine definitely seemed more hoppy.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Which I actually enjoy. I mean, but I'd be kind of curious about what hops you would take out, or what? How you work the hops to get a little closer to their profile? Of what you're taking?
Yours has a lot more of a late hop character than a typical ESB would, and it's enjoyable for what it is that way. But you'd maybe push it's enjoyable. I keep it as it is, but you could push more to the bittering and get a little bit more of the classic style. But yeah, I don't know. There's is less hoppy. It doesn't have as much of that late hop character in there. Yeah.
And I think the floral thing is, in my impression of it, is that the yeast would make a lot more difference. So that's going to be next time I brew, which is hopefully soon. I'm getting a little bit of a semester break coming up here in about a week. So hopefully soon I'll brew it again, and I'll at least try the London ESB yeast. So I'd like to – any other suggestions on how you might tweak it to get a little closer to theirs – would be interesting to me. Yeah, I mean, I still enjoy it, though. I mean, I'll say that I have been enjoying it immensely, and I really don't know how much of it is left in the keg. I'm surprised there's any.
No, it's definitely a good recipe. What were you going to say, Keith?
I'm sipping on some with you right now, so.
Good.
Well, I was going to say, like, yeah, that yeast strain is something you can do, but it's going to be a little bit trickier, obviously. You have to be it's a little more finicky, and you want to make sure it doesn't get cold, and... Not that you're gonna have. I know your Minnesota summers are not cold at all. They're actually kind of hot. They kind of suck, from what I experienced personally. But no. I mean, that's the thing that yeast strain in general is just kind of a little more tricky to deal with than something like an American, the 1065. That's a joke. It's a little bit harder to deal with. But you know, that's kind of the fun and. Approximating what they're doing. At the same time, like at some point, like I think right now I like your beer better. So, like, how much closer do you want to get to theirs? Is kind of like, well,
that's
like,
a good question. Both everyone liked your beer more. I will say on that bent paddle, I do really like that toasty, bready note that kind of just is dominant, almost like a Tootsie Roll thing, which maybe is more oxidation. But I don't know. I like that toasty, bready, grainy thing, and I think that would make Jimmy's beer even a little bit better.
Well, Jimmy, it's just Jimmy, to kind you of said have rawr, that, right? Like you said, rawr. Is that rawr two row you were using?
Yep.
Not rawr pale ale. I mean, it's possible that Bent Paddle was using some sort of pale ale malt, which would give you more toastiness. Not even like, you know, not upping the biscuit or not upping like the victory sort of thing, but just using a base malt that has naturally more toastiness to start with. Like, and as a home brewer, you know, you can spend the extra money to buy a Maris Otter or something like that.
A floor malted crisp Maris Otter,
like something cool like that that'll give you that toastiness versus trying to use something like Victory or Biscuit or something to approximate it, or even adding, you know, Munich or whatever. There's a lot of different ways to get to the same end goal, but it's interesting to see, like, if you've been there and seen like, exactly their base malls, so you know, like, hey, what are they actually using? They have a giant silo that
it
has
says,
all one malt.
It just says malts pale.
Pale.
Pale malt. I mean, it doesn't say pale malt. It says pale, golden promise, aromatic, crystal 10, crystal 55, crystal...
Does it say golden promise, which is a...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a Scottish...
what's going on?
Scottish pale malt.
Yeah.
Fucking people opening the fucking door, dude. Go away. It says employees only on the goddamn fucking door.
We're on the air.
Pale, golden promise, aromatic, crystal 10, crystal 55, crystal 155.
So the pale could be like a rawr pale, because rawr does have, it's not just rawr two row. Rawr actually has a higher, you know, a higher lava bond sort of pale malt that's, you know, a little bit different. And, you know, so that's an option too, to like kind of like play around with that a little bit and find your way there to get your toastiness that you want.
Yeah. I mean, as a first time brewing it, it's definitely a recipe I have enjoyed more than a lot of recipes I've brewed. So, and one problem I do have is that I don't have fermentation control. I just drop it in my basement. So, you know, and it was kind of cold. So down there over winter. So I actually, I brewed it on January 7th. So it wasn't exactly warm around here. So.
Awesome. All right, Jimmy. Well, hey, man, good luck rebrewing it, and let us know vicariously if you improved it, I guess, or, I don't know, got closer to your goal in your head.
All right.
Cool. Will do. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Okay, so let's give some stuff away. $40 gift certificate to GrogTag.com, where you can customize reusable labels.
We had a close one, but it looks like Steve wins the Grog Tag.
Steve, good job, Steve. Nice work. You win the Grog Tag. John for the John, bro.
And we win the Serendipity New Glarus.
Steve. No, Andrew.
Oh.
Not Steve. Andrew was on the last one.
Oh, sorry, Steve.
No, Steve was on the last one. Andrew was on this show.
Oh, yeah, I rotated the sheets wrong. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Andrew,
yeah, good job, Andrew. Steve, you don't win shit. Sorry, dude.
Well...
That's just how it works.
Yeah, Steve didn't win. Sorry.
All right, everyone. I want to thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, HomebrewCon is around the corner, so register for that and go to that. Also, listen to our other shows, like our brand new show, Heads and Tails. So if you're into craft spirits at all, listen to this show. Warren and myself wax poetic and basically interview a bunch of craft distillers and, you know, talk about their wares and talk about craft spirits in general. I think it's pretty cool. Not necessarily a how-to, of course, because it's illegal at home. But our last show was all about rum. So if you're interested in rum and improving your rum knowledge, which I definitely knew nothing about rum, it's a really good show. So check it out. Heads and Tails, where greater podcasts are learned about. And until next time, we'll see you later.
Cheers.